on the front of the bulletin is the, I suppose, the text by which Romans is concerned with regarding grace and law. And every one of us, just like the people of Paul's day, we might be, I think all of us, if we admit to it, a little given to pride, pride in what we've done or what we might do, what we have done. And Paul, regarding those who would take pride in legalism, meaning what they do and works, says, where's the boasting? Meaning there is no place for boasting. It's excluded, he said, on our part. Boasting in God is included, but boasting in us and what we've done is excluded. By what kind of law would we boast in? A law of works, he asked? No. But by law of faith. Law of faith. I could have, and I did actually retitle this, The Law of Faith. We've been laying the groundwork on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning class times for our understanding of what Paul means in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, when he says we are not under law, but under grace. And we talked this morning about the four laws that Paul concerns himself with in the letter wrote to those in Rome. The law he is saying that we're not under in Romans 6:14, we're not under law but under grace, is very clearly also the law that Paul is concerned with there in 3:27, and that is the Mosaic law, a legalistic system by which people insist that God is obligated now to not condemn them. And that's why Paul, and what Paul's talking about when he says, we are not under that law, law of works on our part, we are under a law of faith, or we're under grace, which in Paul's understanding, what he's saying is that those two things are inseparable, grace and faith. That with faith, God applies grace. He always has. But now, most especially, faith in Jesus. I would invite you to join me in Romans chapter 3, verses, I think it's 21 and following. To get the context, Romans 3, verse 21. Because what we're talking about here is justification, being justified before God, okay, rather than condemned, essentially. You know what it means about justification. You and I do it all the time. We do certain things that we know we can get by with, like eating chocolate, let's say. I'm talking about just certain things. Is there any real reason to eat chocolate? Okay. That's, yes. And so Ron justifies eating chocolate with its good. But Ron, it costs you money. But your justification is, it's good enough to exchange for money. That's fine. I have no problem with chocolate, unless chocolate's a problem for you, in which case you need to deal with that. right? Or anything else, right? Anything else. You know, it's not uncommon for me to come up with my mind, in my mind, why I can justify having another colony of bees, right? I have to justify it to myself, right? And occasionally to Miriam, right? Well, it's because, you know, we understand what it means to receive or to use justification. Okay, there's a reasoning out of things, and that is just for us to do this. So justification, though, by faith is the law of faith. We talked about those laws this morning. So those of you who are in class, this law of faith that we're talking about, the law is the law of Christ, essentially. That the law of faith is now applied to the law of Christ. The law of faith has always existed since the creation of human beings. Okay? But now it is the law in Christ. Okay? And justification is about this. Now, apart from, by the way, before I start, as we read this, you'll know next week we're going to be talking about righteousness. Because that's Paul's real aim for those who are listening to his letter to Rome, is righteousness. That's Paul's real aim. That's next week. But for this week, how do we get to that righteousness? So here it is. Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, talking about the Mosaic law. Okay? Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Paul is dealing with Jew, Gentiles in the church, believers in Christ, both Jews and Gentiles. That's what he's dealing with. So there's no distinction. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, both Jews and Gentiles. He says, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. There's the gospel, most specifically the gospel to the law keepers, the Jews, and the law breakers, the Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't have, they didn't follow, they were viewed as lawbreakers because they didn't keep the Jewish law. That's what I mean by that. Okay. And so this discussion needed to happen and needs to happen today in us too. Okay. There are those who would make a law, even today in the church, who would make a law binding on another, and that law is nothing that came from God. Okay. And the Mosaic law did come from God. Got to be careful. So, continuing on, talking about the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, verse 25 now, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God is just, meaning God is correct. It's not a very good way of putting it, but if God would forgive you without a just or a proper payment, would that be proper for God to do? No. So the reason he is just in his being the justifier, the one who has faith in Christ, is back here in verse 25, because of the propitiation, that Jesus' blood, Jesus' death, is a proper payment for your sin. That's how grievous our sin is. And that's and so the magnificence of Jesus's death on the cross is that it is more, it is a propitiation in his blood, okay, that is makes God a just justifier there in verse 26. And because of that, because it was his sacrifice and God is just justifier, the question is there in verse 27, then where's the boasting? Right? It's by grace that this all happened. And where's the boasting? It's excluded very clearly by what kind of law? Any kind of law? Well, no. It's by the grace of God and Jesus dying on the cross. Okay. And so it says very clearly, it's not works, but a law of faith. Law of faith. So, in summary of this introduction, we are justified, accounted righteous by God. The righteousness will be next week. We are justified by faithfulness, which is believing in Jesus. We are justified by faithfulness in our believing in Jesus. Because when the scripture says faith, it's an all-encompassing proposition. Okay? It includes all of who we are. Not just some little segmented thing, part of us on a particular time at a particular place, right? That's an important time like we have right now. That's important, right? Wednesday nights are important to some of us because we're hungry for more of God and his word, you know? And so, but faith is all encompassing, all of who we are, every bit of us. So we are justified by faithfulness in believing in Jesus. So in Romans, in Galatians, in Ephesians, this is what is meant by being saved by grace, not by works of legalism. All three of those letters are just absolutely focused in on that. So we are saved by grace, not the works of legalism. Okay, that's what they are about. However, I have a couple of points I want us to cover. And number one is we are not saved by works, but we are under obligation. Okay? We are under obligation. And so Paul makes that very clear, and that is his point in Romans, because he contrasts Romans 8 verses 6 through 9 is where we'll be. What he's going to do in Romans 8, 6 through 9, he contrasts the mind transformed by Christ with the mind still in darkness. Okay? And the mind transformed by Christ grabs onto and is glad for the obligation. That it doesn't see it as a slavish, obedient birth. It's an eager reaching for the obligation and embracing an obligation because that's the mind transformed by Christ. Let me get there if you're already there. Verse 6, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Remember, the point is we're under obligation, okay? So work with me here. So Paul's writing to Christians that the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. He says, for the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. This is interesting. For it's not even able to do so. Now, note this. Paul has just referred to the law of God, and he's not talking about the Mosaic Law. So take, if those of you who've been studying this with me, you'll know that this is the law of God that we are obligated to. Read it again, verse 7. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it is not subject itself to the law of God. It is not what? Even able to do so. So where there's a law, okay, we're to have our mind set on the Spirit, which is life and peace, and the mind set on the flesh is hostile, okay, to what it is we're obligated to. So you can see so far here anyway that Paul is really clear about the problem anyone has who says, who does not have the Spirit of God. They're in a very serious situation. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not even able to understand, or you're not obliged, you're not obligated to the law of God necessarily. You're not even able to follow it. You're not even able to approach it. Okay? So the problem is those who are disobedient, who have the mind of the set on the flesh rather than the mind, renewed mind of the Spirit, are in a desperate state. And I remember being there. Do you? Anybody remember before they were in Christ how desperately, how you couldn't even, it was so difficult to even understand what the Bible said. I couldn't get it, could you? And what a desperate state to be, misunderstand and misapprehend what the Scripture says, but to desperately be trying on your own to legally find your, to be acceptable to God, and always under a cloud of shame and guilt because you know you're not. Just like I'm not. But you haven't entered into setting your the Spirit of Christ living in you. But you, if you want to, you're probably right on the threshold of that. I've been on the threshold of that. And so going on to the other side is much better. It's eternally better. So when Paul says you're not under law, but you're under grace in 6:14, you are, however, or he certainly does not mean that you have no obligation to keep God's law of faith in Jesus Christ. We do, we are under obligation because we are under Christ's law. So some would say that we're under obligation to keep is not law, but something other than law. But that's not Paul's view. Okay, that's not Paul's view. Paul holds that the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God because it does not subject itself to the law of God. There it is, right there. So you can't make Paul say that we're not under the law of God. We are under the law of faith, the law of Christ. It is what the gospel is there for. It says, chapter 8, verse 12. So then, brethren, this is a summation. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So there's that word obligation. So he says, we are under obligation, okay, not to the flesh. Well, what are we under obligation to? To live according to what? The Spirit. That's really, really clear. We are to live according to the Spirit. They are under obligation by the Spirit, okay, to do this. Put to death the deeds of the body. The consequence of that is that you will live. Let that soak in. Well, if I put both these statements together, we find Paul is showing us, at least in his mind here in Romans, that being under grace, being covered by the grace of God, by the redemption of the propitiation of Christ Jesus as a payment for me, that I am justified correctly by God because of that. And that grace involves being under obligation to keep the law of the Spirit, the law of the life-giving Spirit in Christ Jesus, we find in chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. So if you want to turn back with me, I'm going to read you in another verse or two here. But it says this regarding our thoughts on justification and the law of faith. Okay, there, if you were in class this morning, you'll know that there's another law that is contrary to us, and that is the law of sin and death. And that's on Paul's mind here. Okay, regarding the law of sin and death, the law of sin and death is important to understand. Let's see, let me say this. The law of sin and death condemns us, right? The law of sin and death is an irrevocable law that when you sin, you miss the mark, you have fallen short of the glory of God, and Paul's very clear, and all have what? Fallen short of the glory of God, right? And so we all stand condemned at some point. But Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 8, because of what he's laid forward, and we're going to go back next week and come to this place, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the life-giving Spirit in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So outside of being in Christ, verse 1, for those who are not in Christ, condemnation under the law of sin and death still exists. And so you and I, we exist, we live to tell other people that they don't have to die eternally, that they do not have to stand condemned, that the shame and the guilt that they have brought onto themselves, they can be free from. That's why Paul said in Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. From your own laws, okay? And the law of sin and death. And he says it here in Romans as well. Set you free. You're set free. Well, so when Paul says you are not condemned, or when he says you're not under law, but you're under grace, he doesn't mean that obedience to the law of Christ. He doesn't mean obedience to the law of Christ is what you're free from, but rather you are free from condemnation to the law you have made and the law you now find yourself under. So that's freedom. Okay, that's freedom. And by the grace of God, he has set us free from death and conquered death for us. So Paul shows that those who are in Christ are not under condemnation because they've been set free from law, this law of sin and death, the law, the Mosaic law and the condemnation that pointed out to us. But he's not talking about God's law that we've already discussed there later in Romans 8, okay? Because he's rather talking about here, you are free from the law that condemns you. The law of Christ is now part of God's law, which frees you. And so it would make no sense to say that the law of Christ sets us free from the law of God. Okay. The law, it would make no sense to say the law of Christ sets us free from the law of God. The law of Christ fulfills all of God's law and wraps it up into redemption in being the propitiation for each and every one of us, the replacement. So Paul's talking about, okay, in verse 2, like we said, that the law of sin and death, there being no condemnation, okay? So it's important to understand that those who are under the law of sin and death, who live according to the flesh, are under condemnation by God's law. So that law is still in effect, correct? God's law is still in effect. And when Paul says you're not under law, we have to ask ourselves, so what do you mean, Paul, by the law of God? If you were in class this morning, you'll be closer to the answer, of course. What is the law of God? What is the law of God? Are you under the law of God? Do you see yourself as being under the law of God? I hope so. Yeah, we all are. For anyone who wishes to be free from the law of sin and death, the law of God is a good thing. The law of God is a good thing. For anyone who no longer wishes to be under condemnation by or because of God's righteousness and wants to have the righteousness of God for in Christ Jesus for themselves, you must know that God is willing to grant it to you so that you can live by the Spirit and be under obligation to the Spirit and to the law of God and enabled to live it out by his power, not strictly by your own. And it goes back to the law of faith. Can I point out to you here that the law of faith calls us to be willing to commit ourselves to become equipped anew. The law of faith in Christ Jesus is not a magic pill. You don't take it once, you live it out. The law of faith that some call grace, but they mean cheap grace, is not a magic pill. You don't take it once and you're fixed somehow and you go about your business. The law of faith is something that you live out by happy obedience, out of willful adherence, perhaps, and to it. And that is what the law of faith is. So when you're called to Christ, and I'm calling you to Christ if you're not in Christ. When you're called to Christ, know that you are entering into the joy of living out faith by living by the Spirit. And what you're going to be doing, according to Paul, putting to death the deeds of the body so that you live. That's Romans 8, verse 12. That's what you're being called to. You're why is it that he's talking to Christians here and telling them, if you Christians, I don't know about you, did Paul think Christians were perfect? Did he think Christians were perfect, or did he think that Christians need to be putting off the deeds of the body so that they would live? They need to be putting off the deeds of the body so they would live, right? So this message isn't for those of you who are in Christ to feel bad, okay, or to feel guilty for some reason, but to be encouraged, to be spurred on to live by faith in Jesus Christ, by his grace, putting to death the deeds of the body. Because I know you struggle with it, because I know I struggle with it. That we ought to be involved in it ourselves. We must be. We must admit to it and deal with it. And realize it's a reality here in the flesh, right? It's a reality. It's an opportunity to grow, to put those things behind us. Because we know that if we refuse at any point, if we refuse to grow and to stop living by faith, that the law of sin and death applies. I think that this calls you and I to be prepared as well as equipped to bring those who desire to be in Christ an understanding, okay? Those who want peace with God, peace with themselves, peace in life. I hope that this calls us to be equipped to accurately explain to others who might not understand what the grace of God is. And what it means to be under grace, but not under law. Okay. If there's anyone, as you come up, Ron, if there's anybody who desires to be united in Christ, in dying to yourself and living to him, I ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.